Welcome to the Manage Impact Development Training for Operations Manager. My name is Brian Wren, and I'm a knowledge engineer with Microsoft, focusing on System Center and cloud technologies. This lesson is titled Designing a Health Model. Now, the last lesson, we went over a high-level overview of what goes into a health model. Before we actually get into the details of building our monitors and rules and other elements, though, let's talk about some of the concepts behind actually designing what it is that we want to build. The reason I want to talk about this first is to really drive home the point that we want to focus on designing our health model before we start building it. Often you'll focus on those monitoring scenarios that are easy or where information happens to be readily available. But the point of a health model is to accurately measure the health of the application. So you're going to want to start with the monitoring requirements and then focus on how you're going to actually implement those requirements that you've defined. Now, I briefly mentioned this concept of active versus passive monitoring in the last lesson, but let's talk about it in some more detail here. Now, first of all, you don't designate a particular monitoring element as active or passive or anything like that. You're not going to see either of these terms anywhere in Ops Manager. These are concepts that you just want to keep in mind for when you're thinking about your design. Now, complete monitoring for a particular application is provided by a set of various management packs. First, we have the set of standard management packs that are probably installed before the application even comes along. These monitor the operating system, the hardware. In the case of cloud applications, we would have the Azure management pack, for example. We also have something that I call core services. What I'm talking about here are the management packs for applications and services that are shared by others. So this one includes SQL Server, IIS, Active Directory, that sort of thing. So when you consider all those management packs that are already installed, we have a good amount of monitoring already in place. What we need to create, though, is what I show there in blue. This is the monitoring that is specific to the application itself. Now, the first kind of monitoring that we typically do is passive. This is where we're looking for information that gives us a clue as to how the application is working. This could be looking for error events, checking a performance monitor, checking a log. We're not actually doing anything here. We're just looking for information that's already being generated through some other means. This information is typically going to come from each of the individual management packs. They understand what information is available from the particular application or feature that they're monitoring and how to classify that information, if it's a warning, if it's an error, if it's something to just collect, or if it's something that we should find very interesting. But with passive monitoring, we really have no guarantee that the application's actually working. We have clues. We can see the performance measurements are within an acceptable range. We can see there are no outstanding errors that we've seen. But we're basically going on the assumption that no news is good news. If an error has not been reported, then we're going to assume that the application's working properly. Active monitoring is when we actually test the application. This is usually going to come from some form of synthetic transaction where we're simulating a client. Instead of waiting for the application to tell us what's wrong, we actually go test it. We connect to a database to make sure it's available, request a web page to make sure it's responding in a timely manner. The question you might be thinking now is, which one is better between active and passive? And the answer is clearly that we want both if we really want to perform complete monitoring of an application. Now, as I mentioned, passive monitoring gives us only clues as to whether the application is working, but it's particularly good at identifying a root cause. We may have synthetic transaction that tells us that the application isn't responding, but because that test is essentially running across the application and all of its underlying components, we probably won't have any idea why. We won't know exactly what went wrong. An error event would hopefully give us some specific reason for what the problem was. But we need the application to provide us with that information. Sometimes we have to go get it with a script, but the application needs to make sure that the information is being generated and is accessible to us. Synthetic transactions, on the other hand, test all of the components of the application working in conjunction with one another. We really don't rely on the application to provide anything other than the ability to programmatically simulate a client. So with a synthetic transaction, we're pretty much guaranteed to find out the answer of whether or not the application's working properly, but we may have to go to information that we've collected through passive monitoring in order to find the root cause of what the actual problem is. So you can see that a good health model really incorporates both of these different kinds of monitoring. So let's go back to this slide which I showed in the last lesson, which should make a little bit more sense now. You should be able to see now as we go through designing our health model, the ideal solution is a combination of both active and passive monitoring. We use scripts and perspectives to actually test the application and its critical components, and hopefully if we see any errors there, then we have some of the passive data sources that are providing us with some detailed information to identify the root cause of the problem. Now, one important thing to keep in mind is that a management pack is only going to be as good as the application allows it. Management packs don't perform any particular magic. They access information that's already available from a variety of sources. The better the application does in terms of providing information on its performance and on any errors that it can encounter, the more intelligent that the management pack can be. So as the management pack improves its instrumentation, the less work that we need the management pack to perform. In an ideal scenario, the application itself is providing most of the information we need, and the management pack is doing little more than just collecting that data and providing alerting. It's very common for us to get questions from developers and how they can write their application so it can best be monitored. So failure mode analysis is actually a process that we've shown to developers on how to instrument their application. I won't go into complete depth into how it works here, but I think a quick overview will at least be helpful in the case that you might have some of these conversations with a development team. The first step is to list all the things that can go wrong with an application. Now, developers tend to think of these as bugs in their code. That's really not what we're talking about here. What if the application can't connect to its database, can't write to a log file, tries to process information that doesn't understand, maybe it's corrupt data? There are a host of different problems that can occur in the environment that don't have anything to do with application bugs. And you want to build this list for each application feature or significant piece of code. These are what we call the failure modes. The next step is to identify some means of detecting that failure. When the application tries to connect to a database, for example, how can you tell the connection was successful? If it wasn't, how can you figure out why? Can you tell the difference between the server not being found, the database being offline, or some security issue? And then finally, you want to add code to not only detect that problem, but to raise as much information about it that we can consume. This will typically be an error event, but it could be a performance counter, it could be a log file. Don't just give us a bland error message that the database wasn't found. Get the details in there about the server and database names. Gives us the reason for the error if you have it. Think in terms of the information that an administrator would need in order to correct the problem. Remember that part of the value of a management pack can be automating problem resolution. So in addition to giving the administrator information, we may also want to consider the potential for an automated process to do some work, and it may need to have some detailed information in order to do that. Now, all this may seem a little bit obvious. It's not particularly profound to say, identify potential problems and then raise errors in response. But as I said before, there's no magic in a management pack. And the better job that the application can do in raising interesting information, the better job we can do in leveraging it for our health model. The biggest takeaway from this, in my experience, is getting developers to think about all the things that could go wrong in production. Again, when developers think errors, they think bugs. And any administrator can tell you that there are a whole host of potential problems outside of application bugs that we deal with. Now, our process for designing our health monitoring is very similar to failure mode analysis. By this point, we have a service model with a set of classes to represent the components of our application, so we can focus on monitoring on those instead of thinking about the physical application itself. We want to start by considering all the functions that each class performs. And then for each function, think about the potential things that could go wrong. This is basically what we talked about in the last slide, only we're now working at the management pack level instead of the application code. Then for each of these potential problems, we want to do three things. First, and pretty obvious, how do we detect that problem? Now keep in mind, we might have to do some proactive tests for that. What I referred to in the previous slide is active monitoring. There may not be a simple event or something that we can look for. Next, and not quite as obvious, we need to determine how we can detect that that problem occurred. Keep in mind that monitors show health state. We're going to show an error state when we detect a problem, but we also need a means of knowing when to go back to a healthy state. If we're dealing with a performance counter script, this is easy. We can check the perf counter to see if it's in an error range or a success range. Scripts are typically going to be able to tell us whether a particular test was successful or not, and whether the result that it collected is good or bad. Now, we'll talk a lot more about this when we get to the lessons on monitors, but what's important to note here is that I'm not worrying right now on how we're going to implement this. Many times I've seen this process done backwards, where the MP designer starts with the information that's available and then implements monitoring for the data. The problem with that approach is you could easily miss something. You're assuming that the easy information represents the complete monitoring requirements of the application. In fact, there may be some aspects of it that aren't particularly easy to monitor. You need to either do some creative work to determine a method to do that monitoring, or just admit that it's going to go unmonitored. When you're the one in charge of designing monitoring for an application, you're the one responsible if a problem goes undetected. So if there is some part of the application that isn't being monitored for some reason, you want to make sure that information is well understood by your business. The final thing you want to define is the additional information or data that would be useful to the administrator. This could be static information that we might include in the product knowledge, giving details about the monitoring scenario, potential ways to correct the problem, that sort of thing. Or it might be some additional data that we need to collect in response to a monitor. That's something we'll talk about later on when we talk about diagnostics. Again, I'm not worried at this point about how I'm going to implement this logic. A good health model is actually independent of operations manager. It's based on the requirements of the application regardless of the tool being used to implement that logic. Of course, your next step is going to be defining monitors or rules in your management pack to address those requirements, but you can think of that as one implementation of the logical model that you've designed. So let's have a look at our sample application. And we've defined a set of classes to represent our different components of the application. This is what we're going to want to now create a health model for. So what we want to do is go through each of these classes and determine what logic we would need to reliably measure its health. Now, of course, our application doesn't actually exist, so we're going to basically make things up. And in the sake of time, we really aren't going to get to the full complexity that a typical distributed application like this would have. I actually have a sample management pack specification that's available in the TechNet gallery that shows a lot more detail. But we should be able to provide some examples here of the kind of logic that we typically see. And this is all the monitoring that we'll be implementing in later lessons. I'm not going to worry too much right now about our roll-up classes here, although that is something you would include in an overall monitoring plan. Their health is going to come from the health of the classes underneath them, and we'll talk about that later on when we get to dependency monitors. So if you look at this table, you can see that I have it organized by class. Basically, what I'm defining here is what logic we need to determine that each one is healthy. I'm not necessarily worrying about how I'm going to implement that logic yet, but I am defining where I can get the information. It might be something we can detect through an event or a perf counter, or we might need to run a script. The idea at this point is to be as comprehensive as possible, so if there is some problem with a particular component, we can be assured that we're going to detect it through an alert or an unhealthy monitor state. Now, I'm not going to go through this in detail. We'll talk more about it, each of these scenarios, when we actually start building monitors and rules in later lessons. But you can see that we're doing standard things such as checking the state of services, looking for error events, looking at perf counters. Those are what I referred to earlier as passive monitoring. We also have some active monitoring we need with scripts to measure queue length and also checking the responsiveness of the database and the website. So we'll leave it there for now, and in the next lesson we'll start defining the details of how we actually implement that logic that I showed, and we'll actually start building some monitors.